All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
This is Minnesota Today for Wednesday, March 22nd. Ramadan starts tonight. I'm NPR News reporter Tim Nelson. Here's our top story right now. The private data targeted in a recent ransomware attack on the Minneapolis Public School District has been released on the Clear Web. Brett Callow, a threat analyst for the cybersecurity firm MSIsoft, says a ransomware group has posted some 100 gigabytes of data online. Experts had said the group threatened to sell the data or post it online if a ransom wasn't paid.
There is no way of knowing whether the attackers release all of the data that was obtained during these incidents online or only some of it.
Callow warns there are several risks involved, including identity theft and further ransom demands by third parties. The Minneapolis district says it is reaching out to families whose information was accessible and that it plans to offer free credit monitoring and identity protection services to those individuals who were affected. And an attorney defending a former Minnesota Republican Party operative and a top donor against charges of sex trafficking minors said Tony Lazzaro's alleged victims had sought out Lazzaro because they needed money. As Matt Sepik reports, lawyers on both sides gave their opening statements this morning in a case that brought turmoil to the GOP ahead of last year's elections.
Federal prosecutors allege that in 2020, now 32-year-old Tony Lazzaro paid five girls who were 15 and 16 at the time for sex. In her opening statement, Assistant U.S. Attorney Laura Provenzino showed jurors photos of the five and said, quote, "The defendant is a predator and he wanted what he perceived as easy prey." In his opening, defense attorney Thomas Bito countered that, quote, "So-called victim A set up a profile on the Seeking Arrangement website because she needed money to fund her drug addiction." All five alleged victims are expected to testify, as is Lazzaro's co-defendant, Gisela Castro Medina, who pleaded guilty in December.
That's NPR News reporter Matt Sepik in Minneapolis. And a 23-year-old Glencoe man has been charged with murder after shooting his wife's boyfriend to death in the parking lot of a Howard Lake cabinet factory where they worked. The complaint against Kevin Zelaya Asensio says he and his wife went to work together at Dura Supreme on Monday, where she told him he was leaving him. Asensio allegedly left work early and drove home, retrieving an assault-style rifle and returning to Howard Lake. Witnesses said that Asensio's wife and Adrian Medina, with whom she told police she had a romantic relationship, came out of the factory and got into Medina's truck in the parking lot. The charges say Asensio got into the truck and fired the rifle three times at Medina and killed him before driving away. Asensio was pulled over and arrested in Waverly. A sheriff's deputy recovered a loaded assault-style rifle from Asensio's truck. Asensio faces a single charge of second-degree murder and is being held on multi-million-dollar bail. And here's what else we're watching. Arts advocates from all over the state are descending on the Capitol for Arts Action Week. Proposed legislation would direct $191 million to the state arts board from the budget surplus. Advocates say funds would go towards rehiring positions that were lost during the pandemic. Arts Action Week at the Capitol runs through March 24th. And Minnesota lawmakers joined officials from several other states today in calling for additional state guarantees of gender equality. DFL Representative Kristen Bonner of Maple Grove said state lawmakers are pushing to put an amendment before Minnesota voters in 2024. If approved, it would ensure a person's rights couldn't be abridged based on their sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression. Minnesota DFLers said they were also urging Congress to recognize the Equal Rights Amendment as the 28th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The amendment has been ratified by 38 states, the three-fourths threshold for adoption, but missed an initial deadline in 1982. In sports, after missing play for nearly 4 months due to an injury, Minnesota Timberwolves star Karl Anthony Towns may return to action tonight. Towns told ESPN that pending a final check before tonight's home game against Atlanta, He expects to play and is excited to get back on the court. Towns has missed 52 games with a severely strained right calf muscle. Also today, the Minnesota State Boys High School Basketball Tournament continues in the Twin Cities. Eight small schools are playing quarterfinal games today. And the Minnesota Duluth women's basketball team is in the NCAA Division II Final Four for the first time in program history. The Bulldogs face Catawba tonight in St. Joseph, Missouri. And here's a look at the weather. It's going to be mostly cloudy. There's a slight chance of snow in southern Minnesota. Lows will be from 6 to 12 in northern Minnesota and from 18 to 24 degrees in the south. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 20s to the mid-30s. That's it for Minnesota Today. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Nelson. Kathy Werzer will be back in the morning with an update. Until then, stay healthy and stay safe.